Hi, and welcome to Write Your Book Your Way, the interview series that goes behind the scenes of real, self-published books to explode the myth that there's a right way to write your book and give you the freedom to write in a way that feels good to you and gets it finished. I'm Chris Emery, editor and owner at Chris Emery Editorial, and I'll be interviewing my past clients, all first-time non-fiction writers and entrepreneurs, to show you how it can be done. That means how it could be done, not how it should be done. Today, I'm talking with Caitlin Donovan, who I worked with as editor on her book, The Bounce Back Ability Factor. Caitlin Donovan is one of New York City's leading burnout experts and acupuncturists, host of Fried the Burnout podcast, and author of the book, The Bounce Back Ability Factor, End Burnout, Gain Resilience, and Change the World. Her master's degree in traditional Chinese medicine enables Caitlin to combine Eastern wisdom with her natural practicality. I have loved working with Kate. Let's dive into the interview.
Okay, let's dive in and welcome Caitlin today. Hi. How are you going?
It is wonderful. It's you're in the morning time, right? Right now?
Yes.
And I'm in the evening time right now.
Yeah. But it's very cool that we can connect at all because, you know, it's been a crazy time lately and everybody's been, you know, getting on with their lives and trying to keep their head above water. And, you know, I feel like your book is really ripe for these times that we're living in. So
I could not have chosen it at a better time. I mean, I finished writing this book a year ago.
That's right. Yeah. We were editing at the beginning of 2020. So,
right.
Yeah. I feel like it's got more relevant, if anything. So why don't we tell everybody what your book is about? Because my very first question I want to kick off with is, how does your book relate to your business? So tell us about both, essentially.
So my book is called The Bounce Back Ability Factor, and it's all about burnout in female entrepreneurs. And as a female entrepreneur, I burnt out and stayed on a burnout cycle for about 7 years until I realized what I was doing and used my life coaching and my Chinese medicine background smashed together to sort of get myself out of it. And that's what the book is for. It's the story of me going through it, also with these are the reasons you might be going through it. And if this is the reason you're going through it, this is what you should do to, you know, for a fix. And so it kind of goes through, it's like part biography, part self-help, smashed all into.
For sure.
Yeah.
So the audience will be able to see themselves in the story, but also you're not going to just leave them there going like, okay, but what do I do about it? Because your business is essentially about helping people to recover from burnout and not go back there again. I think the key thing that I realized was when I was editing, and I almost always edit the book that I need at the time, and yours is a lifesaver. So the key thing that I realized when I was going through your book is that this is a cycle. It's not a one-off that you can go on holiday and recover from. And so your book goes really deeply into the strategies to not keep ending up back there.
Yeah, well, and this is a huge thing for entrepreneurs because female entrepreneurs, like, we have this amazing ability to pivot. Like, if you've looked at the businesses that have survived this pandemic, female entrepreneurs are killing it right now. But what I want them to be able to do is kill it without killing themselves. You know, like, we're good at pivoting, but what happens is we take all of our old habits with us. When we pivot, we say, well, that crushed me, so I'll just create something new. And then we do, and we do it successfully. But those old habits come into play. So my favorite thing to do while I'm coaching is help people through that transition phase and help them set their business and their lives up in a way that is actually going to be sustainable this time.
Yeah.
Where they actually have tools to say, oh, wait, not this. Let me shift this so that it's better for me. Not always, which ends up being better for the business, but it's not always the obvious business choice from the get-go.
Okay. It's like they're stuck in that wherever you go, there you are kind of place, and you're showing them the way to not end up in the same spot again, which I actually cried when I read one of the paragraphs of you describing, I don't think it was your burnout. I think it was when you were describing what people come to you with, because I was like, this is not only so powerful, but like I've felt this and I've thought I was so off track, but it's so, so reassuring to know that other people have been there too and recovered from it. I think the recovery part is the key
inspiration factor. Yeah.
So you said you were writing this a year ago, or you've had it written for a year already. Let's go right back to the beginning, because books don't just happen overnight, and a lot of us have got ideas that we hold for a long time before we even put pen to paper. So can you tell me about how you got started?
Like, yes,
what was the thing that tipped you into doing?
I started 2 years ago, actually in September 2018. Mm-hmm. And I had been thinking about writing for a while. One of my friends writes a book a year. Like, she's totally incredible. She writes an entire book every year. It's totally nuts. And she kept saying, listen, you have a book, you just need to get it out. And I got to the point in my career where I had read and absorbed so many things. And I had treated more than 25,000 patients, because when I'm not coaching, I'm an acupuncturist. So I do acupuncture in the city Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I coach and podcast. But I was, you know, in this place where I just had all this stuff that, like, I needed to, like, spill out of me. And there's a poem by Charles Bukowski, which says, like, you should only write once the words start falling out of you. Like, once you can't keep them in anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I was at that place where I couldn't keep them in anymore. But I had a full life, and I didn't know when I was supposed to be able to do that. And we had planned, my husband and I planned to meet my sister for a 10-day trip to Croatia. We went to Croatia fairly regularly from Prague. It's you know, a 12-hour drive, and it's beautiful, and you can bring your dog everywhere, and it's beautiful beaches. And I thought, okay, great, my sister will come. My sister ended up closing on a house the day she was supposed to fly. So she canceled, and she said, you know, I really want to put my house together, get my furniture organized. And I said, don't worry about it. Please, like, I don't want you to be on vacation if you're not going to be able to enjoy it because you're thinking about couches and curtains. Fine. And then my husband,
thinking about the burnout.
Yeah, right? So then my husband, just 2 days before leaving, got a frantic call from his office, and they said, we need you to be in Sweden next week. Like, absolutely no questions asked. You have to be in Sweden for 4 days next week, which was smack dab in the middle of when we were supposed to be on vacation. And he looked at me and he was like, I don't know what to do. I said, you know what? My sister can't go. You can't go. I will use this as a writing retreat.
It all was meant to be. It just came to you. I love it. That's awesome. So suddenly here you were going on holiday on your own. And is that the first time you put pen to paper? Did you have it mapped out and ahead of time? Like,
no, God, no, I didn't really know what I was writing. I needed to get the information out, but I didn't know. I knew I was writing about burnout. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize yet at the time that I was writing to female entrepreneurs. Mm. It should have been obvious to me from the get-go, but it wasn't.
Okay, so the book informed you as you wrote. It wasn't
absolutely
fully planned.
Absolutely. So I spent those 10 days, I wrote about 20 to 25,000 words in those 10 days. And most of it was the kind of the bulk of the research. That was when I was digging through like 45-page research papers from the top burnout researchers in the world. And I was sort of like poring over their information and then taking a snippet that I thought was important and putting it in the book. And sort of, I was just playing with that stuff. And I got back from there, of course, didn't touch the book for months. And I was like, so I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll. I'm going to keep writing. This book is going to be done in just a couple months. I'm already halfway through. This is great. Yeah, no. Then we found out, that was September. In October, we found out that my husband was going to be getting a job in the United States. And at the time, we were in Prague. So over the course of the next 6 months, we basically packed up our entire lives, closed down our businesses, like sold cars, you know, and moved.
Life happened, book doesn't happen.
Life happened, yeah. Book did not happen. And so I had all the excuses, you know, I was busy and all of these things. And they were all basically true. And then I got back to the United States for the first time. I hadn't lived here in 12 years. So I got back and I started getting into life and I went to an exercise class and I was kickboxing, and then I decided to do gymnastics after because I used to be a gymnast, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And I did a round off and I landed on my foot and I crushed my Achilles tendon, snapped it in half.
How soon after you got back was that?
8 weeks.
Okay. So, start writing a book, move countries, reverse culture shock, can't walk anymore.
Cannot walk.
Please tell me the book happened then.
And so I went to bed like crying. Mm. And I said, when I really need something, when I really need guidance, I rely on my ancestors and mostly my grandmothers. And I said, all right, grandmas, like, we have to figure this. I need to use this time to do something because I can't start my acupuncture practice in New York City because I can't stand up. I can't get in and out of the city because I won't be able to even get on the train, never mind get out of the train station. This is not possible. So I said, I don't know what to do. I woke up in the morning and the only thing I heard in my head was Fried, the Burnout podcast. And that's how the podcast came to be.
Mm.
So then the podcast got created and I thought to myself as it was being created, holy shit, this is what I need to finish the book because I need a couple more stories. I had been treating people for burnout for years, but I didn't realize at the time that I was treating them for burnout. Mm. So the stories that I had gathered over time were not always geared towards that. So I said, well, you know what? I'll interview a bunch of people. I'll make a podcast and I'll use those stories to inform what I want to write next. Yeah. And so the podcast, which is now like super successful, like weirdly successful, became also the rest of the book.
Yeah. And I remember reading in the book how you don't necessarily know that it's burnout, or you didn't necessarily recognize that it was burnout and all these people because they were coming with symptoms. And the symptom list is long. It can show up in a lot of ways. So
yeah.
So when the universe sits you on your ass, suddenly, you know, you really can't move, like literally physically can't move, actually that's when you could be creative and when all of this came about. So
yeah. So my mother was cooking, came and stayed with us for about 10 days and she was making food while I was like pouring through another chapter. And the first time I went through, this is my first book and there will be another for sure, but it will, I made so many mistakes. Writing it was such a nightmare. I haven't used Microsoft Word since college. Like I've had no reason to. Mm. And so I didn't use it at first. I was using Google Docs and then I threw it into Word because it wasn't organized enough, but I don't know how to use, I didn't know how to use Word properly. So it wasn't separating into chapters that I could move around because I didn't know that you could do that. And then I uploaded it to Scrivener instead because I thought I could try that program. And then I did Dabble for a minute. I did all of them and I ended up back in Microsoft Word. But by the time I had gotten out everything that I knew I could dig out without an editor asking questions and without a developmental person asking me questions, I had poured out everything I had and it was a mess.
So I did not see it as a mess when it got to me. So you must have had, I was actually going to ask you about the process next. So
yeah,
your writing process was a bit stop start, but did you sat down in chunks obviously to do it when it was time,
yes,
was happening. And then when it came to handing it over to Annick, as you just mentioned, what kind of feedback were you looking for there?
I said, I know I have a good book in these pages, but right now it's really terrible.
I did.
and I don't know how to make it better. And what's interesting about that for me is that I'm a DIY person. I have DIY'd every website I've ever had. I do my own photo shoots, not anymore, but I did my own photo shoots. I figure out how to do everything by myself. I grew up bootstrapping, so it's hard for me to make the decision to spend the money. And this book was such a project that I knew was going to be so important and I had this thought, I have brought this as far as I can bring it as a single person. And this book is bigger than me and it needs other people. So I wanted her to just read it and tell me which things were like in the wrong place Like, I literally didn't think the chapters were in the right places, and they weren't.
Okay.
Right? They weren't. But I couldn't see it. And I did postcards and chapter titles, and I put them all on the floor, and I did the dabble thing, and I tried a million different ways, but I just, there was just something.
I can see it still hurts.
Yeah, I just couldn't get it together. And when we were talking about it, and I said, well, at the time, it did not have a title yet. And I knew it was about burnout, and I had been using the word bounce back ability since a previous podcast that I created when I was still in Prague. And when the word came out of my mouth, my best friend and I, we were on a call like this, and I was like, we were both like, oh, that's good. But you know, I forgot about it until Anik read through, and she was like, yeah, this is good. Organize this, organize that. And I got it back, and I reorganized it, and it was better. But it like didn't have salt and pepper. You know, it was just like, it was a little bit bland, there's a lot of good information in this book. Like I know that. So I couldn't figure out what was missing. And then I was going through my old podcast episodes to delete them because I was taking that podcast offline completely. It was only 12 episodes. It was really terrible, like whatever. And I was listening to the episode with my friend and I heard that word and I went, oh. So then I took the whole book, rearranged the way Anik rearranged it with me, and I threaded through the idea of bounce back ability, which meant I needed to sit down with myself and say, well, what does this mean? Yeah. When you say bounce back ability, what are you saying? Is it going to be clear? And I dragged it through the entire book, and that's when I sent it to you.
So what you're talking about there is having a brand for your book, which is not just the thread that you're talking about, but also reusing these keywords. So the bounce back ability factor is the title, but you've also got the definition of it in the start and all that kind of thing. I didn't realize, having had the book at a later stage, I didn't realize that you had developed this sort of signature system almost, you know, with the way that you conceptualize the factors that you go through in the book, which are the chapters. I didn't realize that was not a signature system already, because it comes through so confidently that it hadn't even occurred to me that that signature system did come before the book. So this comes up very, very frequently. A lot of people don't start because they don't think they've got the structure, the system, the method, all of that kind of stuff. But I would really encourage anyone watching to get started, because your book talks back to you and it informs you what it wants to be. And sometimes, like Caitlin's just been saying, sometimes that's you take it as far as you can and then somebody else helps you shape it a bit more, and then it takes on a life of their own. So many books get these breakthroughs along the way, but if you don't,
you have to get to that point first.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You can't get to those breakthroughs unless you have something that you're working with.
Yeah, there's no way this would have been created if I didn't get through the discomfort of creating the first version.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So when did you know, or how did you know that the book was done and you had to take it to the next stage, like, which I guess would be editing, but even then sometimes people are still tinkering a lot. So what was the sign for you that you didn't want to touch it anymore?
Yeah, to me, I had done enough tinkering, and I knew that there were going to be more books, and I had already learned things that didn't make it into this book. So I was like, I need to get this book out so that I can start doing the next one, because I can't add to this now. Like, this is complete as it is. And I know that already. I could add to it forever and then never put a book out at all. But I would rather get out the basic information all together at once and then go deeper in the next version. But when I sent this book to you, I still knew. That's what you said, that a lot of people have a lot of trouble with the editing process. I personally adore the editing process, because I love your eyes and your ears and your brain in this book. There are things that would never have come together so beautifully had you not pointed them out. And I knew that I couldn't go through the book with that eye because it's my baby. You're I was so too close to it. I couldn't do it. So for me, that last editing was the finishing also of the book. Like when you sent me back those questions, I hated answering some of them, I'm not gonna lie, but I knew that they were necessary and good and would make the book better. So it was like, I couldn't wait to get your feedback because I was like, okay, this is gonna fill in all the holes that I feel, but I don't know how to fix.
Yeah, because that's over there somewhere. And they,
yeah, because that's not my job. Right. Okay. This is somebody else's job to tell me how to do this. And so this was really important for me to have you guys.
Yeah. So essentially, like, there wasn't a point that you reached where you were like, okay, this is finished now. It was a process, again, like an extra part of the process, which was wrapping things up. So yeah, even finishing, even like the end of it was not like a hard stop. It was still like a drawn out.
yeah. To me, it's still rolling because this turns into the next thing. I mean, I'm going to have to take a writing retreat to start it because I'm never starting it in the life that I have right now.
Let's not mention isolation. We don't want to put out any kind of, please, something happened to me so that I can go write my book vibes.
I'll do it intentionally this time.
So you mentioned that there were other books that you intend to write. I won't hold you to it, but how did you determine what the container was for this book and what, and I know how tempting it is to add in things that you're still learning because they're the things that you're excited about, and probably a lot of the things that you're writing about are things that are kind of old for you maybe even. So how do you curb that excitement just a little bit so that you don't try and stuff everything that you ever learned ever and are still excited about into the current book? How do you define essentially like what goes in, what goes out, what the container is for the book?
For me, the container for this book was get the basic information out about burnout. Let people know that it's not their fault. Let people know that there are ways to fix it. Let people know about different things that you're not an expert in, but that they might want to look into. Like one of the things that, you know, the advanced readers, I had 60 advanced readers for the book, and 31 of them wrote, oh my God, I didn't know that highly sensitive person was like an actual thing. And it's so me, right? So this is, I am not a specialist in HSP. But it is important to know about it if you're burnt out, because if it does fit you, it changes the entire way you go around about self-care. And you will have to read a different book to learn those specifics. I did not write that book.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, this was like I needed all of the basics to be in there, and I needed there to be enough branches for people to go and step onto to say, well, it really resonated with me that I can do some technology to like get my brain and heart into coherence, so I'm going to focus on that. Or it really resonated with me that HSP is really important, so I'm going to go focus on that. Because burnout, like most things, there's no solution. As somebody wrote on their Instagram yesterday, and I've been annoyed about it for like 34 hours. Mindset is everything. No, nothing is everything. Like nothing is everything, especially with burnout. Like you probably need to have an acupuncturist. You should probably have a coach. you probably should know about HSP. You should probably learn some things about the technology of brain and heart coherence. You might want to meditate a little bit and do some breathing exercises. And there's a million pieces to this puzzle. There's not one thing that's going to solve it, but I wanted people to have an overview of almost everything that could affect it without going, I went, I think, deep enough for this book, but I do think that there's a
first step in lots of different directions. It's them,
yes,
them to follow their curiosity down those paths.
Exactly.
That's not within the scope of the book, but you, right. Did you ever write down what the scope of the book was, or did that develop
and
become clearer as you worked with it?
I would do that for the next book because it would make it much easier. But yeah. No, I just kept writing.
Okay.
I did all the research first and then I just kept writing stuff. I don't even know like how half of it came together. It just kept, I sat there and I was just like brain dead. brain dump, brain dump. Ah, somebody fix it. It's a mess.
So you've mentioned these other book ideas in the works. What would you do differently next time? I'm not going to hold you to these other books, because lots of people say that when they're writing their first one, but you're mid-launch now, so sometimes people change their tune a little bit when it actually comes to putting books out there. And also they have their eyes opened to what it takes after the first one. So an idea obviously is not a manuscript, let alone a published book. So
definitely not.
So like sometimes people come out the other end and just go, oh my god, writing was actually the easy bit. What? So
there's so many things I didn't know. But if this happens again, the first thing for me, like my best friend told me to write an outline, and I tried to, but I didn't know how to follow it because I wasn't clear enough about what I wanted to say. And that has shifted a lot because since this time, the podcast has done a lot. Like I have a lot more outside input into what people need now. So it's less, this book was about what I wanted to get out there. And the next book will be in response to questions people are asking and things that people need to hear because they're asking me to hear them on purpose.
How exciting.
Right. So that's much, much different for me. So to me, it's a much more of a structure. I will be using my Microsoft Word for the whole thing. And I will watch, I swear to God, I'm going to watch a short video on all of its features before I start. So that the table of contents populates automatically, and that there are things as headings and titles and headings and subheadings and how to use all, and the, listen, I didn't even know, this is so bad, I didn't know that you could automatically make a bibliography. None of my things were done. My husband was like, what is wrong with you? I said, I've been out of college since 2007 and I went to acupuncture school. We didn't even really write papers. I had to learn how to poke people. Like, this is not what I did. This is not my world. I've been writing blogs in Google Docs for 4 years. So I would choose a tool and use it to every bit of its availability, because that makes the process so much easier. Once I had the book organized in Word and I could move a chapter and then read through it and see how it flowed, it was so much easier than trying to like piecemeal things together from here and there and everywhere. So definitely a much stronger outline, a much stronger vision, and sticking to one damn tool that I actually know how to use. I think that probably cost me between 20 and 40 hours.
Wow. Okay. I always underestimate the tools and how important they are. And I get asked a lot about Scrivener. What do I think of Scrivener? And what do I think of, just doing it in Google Docs? And should I do one document per chapter or all in one place? And I never really have much of an opinion about it because, I work with documents all the time, and I don't mind things being linear and sort of all the way through end to end, because eventually they have to be in that format. I guess I'm quite like quite linearly when it comes to this kind of thing. So I don't really always appreciate the struggles that authors have with moving chunks and chapters around and this kind of thing. So it's really good to know that you would, I guess, though, you do have to experiment the first time around to find which one works for you, because some people love Scrivener and they rave about it.
I could not figure it out.
When they have to export it to Word to submit to me, because Word has got all the tools that I use as an editor, they don't like then having to work in Word, because going back and forth into Scrivener, I think, is a little bit tricky. So, yeah, having that figured out, I guess, 40 hours, that's...
Yeah, over the course of, because I moved it from a couple places and then I lost some things and had to copy and paste them, and then I tried this other thing but it didn't really work out, so I exported it and put it over here. Over the course of 2 years, like a full month of work, probably. Yeah. I I don't even think that that's a large estimation. I really lost a ton of time not knowing how to use the tool well. So I don't think it really matters, like you're saying, like which tool it is, I don't think really matters. But for me, once I realized that Microsoft Word would organize it for me, like so simply, I was like, why didn't anybody tell me? This could have been so much easier.
Yeah. Well, on that note, is there anything else that you want to leave the audience with? In particular, I'm interested about, you know, what were your favorite parts of it, and finishing on a high note, and what you really enjoyed. But any parting advice for you watching?
I think really my favorite parts were the collaboration bits. And as somebody that was always a DIY person, that was really surprising to me. But writing this book also influenced a lot of the way I do my business, because I realized that I'm okay with my limits now, because I know, I literally am very clear on the fact that this book would not be what it is without you and Anik. It's not possible. I could not have written this way. It's not possible. And so it made me realize my limits in a positive way. It made me realize the space where I have to say, you have literally done as well as you could, and it's time to let an expert inform your next step. And that has been so invaluable to me, not only in writing the book, but in my business in general, because I don't believe anymore that I have to do everything by myself. I do it to a certain point, and then I say, you know, there is somebody that is better at this than me.
Yeah.
And that's such a relief.
Giving yourself permission almost to not have to do everything. Yeah.
Well, and you can't just
what you know
design.
Yeah.
All, you know, like the book cover, the font, I couldn't even format it myself. You know, there's 8 people in this book. Plus all the people I did a crowdfunding campaign to get the money to self-publish. Like,
which we haven't even talked about, but we can save for another day. Would you do that again? Yeah.
I think that I would, yes, but I think that it would be much easier for me to do pre-orders to get the money now that I'm already a published author. Mm. And what my hope would be is that this book does so well that a publisher comes and talks to me.
Yeah.
So that would be my ideal, but yes, I would do it again. I think that it was totally worth it. And it also meant to me that there's also 71 other people in this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this book became like about so many more people than just me. And I think that makes it more powerful.
And it was not just bigger than you, as in the idea was bigger and it just had to happen, but it also becomes a thing in its own right. So
yeah,
you're birthing it, but also you're in service to the book as well as the book being a product of yours. So
yes.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom today. I'm so excited to actually see the book released, because the pre-orders are doing so damn well.
I'm so surprised. I like, Anik keeps sending me these messages. You're number one in this category. You're number two in that category. You're number six in that category. And I'm like, what?
I didn't even know I was in some.
I didn't even realize we were doing pre-orders already.
Amazing. So I can't wait to see how it goes when it's out in just a week or two.
Two weeks. September 14th.
Yes. So this interview will be published by then. So
yay.
People will be able to go grab that. I will put the Amazon and all the details on the video, so you can go and take a look at The Bounce Capability Factor by Caitlin Donovan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always so good to talk to you.